Yeah. Oh, you know, they're kind of coming back.
Are they?
Yeah, my father had a tie.
Nice little thing.
Kidding.
We're
going
to open the work session on House Bill 5022. And this is the Education Subcommittee Ways and Means. And we will turn over to Mr. Henry. He's going to walk us through.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd like to start with a discussion of what's in the bill and the LFO recommendations to the bill. You have lots of material in front of you. These are mainly for reference. Unless I need to refer to them, I'm only planning to look at four items. So let me identify those for you. They should be in a pile. One is the bill itself, House Bill 5022. The second one is a one-page sheet. It talks about Department of Education funding bills for the 1999 session. Then there's a written four-page document that says detail of LFO recommendations. Then you should have a big spreadsheet. And finally, there's a one-page document that says, like a table, that says LFO recommendations from Senate budget level. Those are the only things that I'll be referring to unless there are specific questions that would refer me to something else. So this, Madam Chair, if I could, I'd like to present the recommendations in the format that we always do, which is to start with looking at what's in the governor's budget and then recommend changes from that. Because of this particular budget, that may be kind of confusing, so that last sheet there is a different reference that looks at the budget in terms of the numbers you've been hearing, like the $73 million, the $100 million, and shows it that way. And we can get to that a bit later, if that's okay. But I ask you to look at this document, written description, detail of LFO recommendations, because I will be working through that to explain what we would recommend that you do. Our first recommendation is that the subcommittee remove the portions of the bill as it's before you, House Bill 5022, that finance the operations of the, what are known as the OSU Statewide Public Services, that's the Ag Experiment Station, the Extension Service, and the Forest Research Laboratory.
Yeah.
To clarify, this other document shows the four bills that will be used to support higher education funding this biennium, or the four major bills, or maybe other minor bills that come through. But the co-chairs have asked that the budgets of these OSU statewide services be considered in House Bill 5057 in the Natural Resources Sub. So I would just ask the subcommittee to approve removing these budgets from the bill. The next item is we recommend, that you approve what's in the governor's budget with the following revisions. The first set, before I even talk on number two here, the first set of revisions, let me point out or reiterate a couple things that are in the governor's budget. If you look at the spreadsheet page, the spreadsheet document on page two, at the top of page two, you'll see something called program option packages. These are things that are in the governor's budget that we are recommending that you do approve. There is funding in there of $44.7 million for the new model. It's called base budget buildup in the budget. We are going to be recommending more, a later recommendation is to increase that amount. But at this point, sequentially, if you would approve the governor's budget so far, you would be approving essentially the $75 million figure that you've been hearing about in funding above the CFL. This includes $15.3 million, that's the second row, to freeze the instruction fees for Oregon undergraduate students. These monies will prevent the tuitions from increasing by about $130 next year and by about $270 in 2 years from their current levels. There is monies for targeted enrollment. The governor switched the distribution of the funds between base budget buildup and targeted enrollment. We can talk about that a little later, but there's also $5 million for faculty recruitment and retention. This is a transfer of deferred maintenance funds to the capital construction budget. That is done so that these monies can be matched by state bonds and essentially doubled in terms of the amount that can be financed from general fund dollars. There is approval of transferring the three regional access partnership programs to the Office of Community College Services. You've already approved funding for that, those partnerships in the community college budget, so you need to take them out here so they're not double funded. There are some adjustments to allow certificates of participation. The governor's budget includes funds for a classified salary roll-up, which we'll discuss in a bit, and some capital improvement projects. So we would approve that you, you know, I don't know if you want to have any discussion at this point of those items.
Okay. I have a question, staff. At that level of funding, what percent increase in the overall budget is that for at that point?
This would be shown in this middle set of numbers here. We're still on page 2 of 6. There's a second box that says governor's recommended budget change from the current service level. That provides about 10.3% above in state support above the CSL and just under 20% above CSL for you know, increase in what they're getting now. This is, again, we're looking here at what's being funded in 5022, so we're not looking at capital construction monies, or we're not looking at, you know, we're not looking at the statewide public services in this particular budget. But this is a 20% increase. It's actually higher, I think, because of these fund shifts. It's effectively higher than the 20%.
Madam Chair, I would move the adoption of the House Bill 5022 as amended with the governor's recommendation and the technical amendments as just described by staff to the full committee on Ways and Means, and recommend an aye vote on that, please.
Representative Edwards moves that we adopt the governor's recommended budget at this level. Senator Nelson.
Just from Steve's viewpoint, what he was saying is that we're going through this process. Is that part of the process that Steve is talking about, or is it if we vote for this, are we just accepting the governor's budget without considering the other enhancements?
That would be correct.
So, my position is that I believe that we should be spending more money in trying to find a higher education. So, what is a no vote on my part would say that we're still going to consider those advances? Or what does a yes vote mean and what is a no vote?
The yes vote means that we would stop at this point. We would not go higher than the governor's recommended budget.
Okay, I, for the record, I would be opposed to that, and so I will be voting no.
Madam Chair, I have the same concern. I wanted to know whether I was voting yes or no, and I would be opposed because I want to walk through this and hear more of the details.
Sure, let me speak to my motion and just answer your question. At least that was presented to me that this was the best way to advance what I believe is a very good budget for higher ed at this point in time in our budget deliberations. I was interested, too, in hearing the rest of it. I was advised that if we were going to vote, we should do this now at this point relative to keeping the governor's budget at this level. As was just described by staff, we're talking about a 20% increase in higher ed. I believe, in all the testimony we heard, that higher ed does need this money. I think this is a reasonable, at this point in the budget process, a reasonable level to fund higher ed. It doesn't preclude us from coming back at a later time, and we have, in my mind, a better grab on what's going on in the whole budget process, particularly with one of the largest funding pieces, which has yet to be decided in this committee, and that's K-12 budgeting. So I think, in my mind, I'm not prepared to go above this level of funding at this point in time. That's why I'm offering the motion.
Senator Gordon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. While I am prepared to support the motion, to support the governor's recommended budget, I think the motion is premature. Mr. Bender has not completed walking through the detail of the LFO recommendation, and I would prefer to hear all of that detail before moving to toward a vote.
Senator Trump.
Madam Chair, I really would like to see decent budgets for all of education. I think we ought to think of education as K through graduate school rather than just K through 12. And it seems to me that this budget is not an adequate budget if we're going to implement a new model. And that model is going to be effective, and that model is going to help make up for several biennia of underfunding higher education, and that's been there. So this is better than it has been, but it's not good enough, and I would vote against it because it's just not good enough. I want a decent budget for all of education. So that doesn't mean I'm backing away from wanting a good budget for the public schools, because I'm not. But I think also we need a decent budget for higher ed.
Representative
I guess I defer to you, Madam Chair. I would be happy to withdraw my motion now if I could make this motion at a different time, if that makes the committee more comfortable. I'm not to try to force this other than I was told by the chair that I should make this motion now. I'd be happy to withdraw it and wait until I go through the whole thing as long as I can make that motion.
You can make that motion at a later time. Yeah. Let's walk through the recommendation.
Is that fair?
That'll be fair. Okay. We can come back.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I think we've gone through numbers one and two of my recommendations. Number two were some technical adjustments that the governor is recommending, and you can see these here. We can, on the table, I can talk about any of them if you have any particular questions. But these are technical adjustments and revisions to the governor's budget that the governor does support. If you turn to page three of the spreadsheet, I will now go into LFO recommendations that differ from the governor's recommendation. And this is also, in the written explanation, this is also number three, starting the first. Our first recommendation is that although the governor's budget provides separate and distinct amounts for what is known as base budget buildup and what is known as targeted enrollment, we're recommending that you combine funding into one category to finance the new budget model. As higher ed developed this model, they looked at the cost of funding their existing students and the cost of funding projected enrollment growth, essentially two separate streams, and this has maintained itself into the budget as you see it here. But we believe that this is not advisable, especially because higher ed has committed to serving all academically qualified Oregon undergraduate students. That is to say, not to impose any enrollment caps because of the distribution of funding between the new budget model and between targeted enrollment. So we recommend that you combine the two amounts together into just one funding source, and that in noting higher ed's commitment to not impose enrollment caps on Oregon resident undergraduates, we recommend that you adopt the budget note, which is shown on page two, at the top of page two, of this detail, that would state the following: the approved budget shall finance all otherwise academically qualified resident undergraduate students who seek enrollment in the institutions of the Oregon University System. The Oregon University System shall distribute state general fund dollars to the system's institutions in a manner to assure that this is the case. The institutions of the Oregon University System may, however, limit enrollments in particular programs when such limitations are warranted by limited demand for the graduates of those programs, or when existing facilities, very high costs, or accreditation requirements limit the number of students that can be effectively served. Again, the genesis behind this note was a concern that with a specified amount funded for enrollment growth. It was possible that the system would choose to impose enrollment caps and not serve all of the students that are qualified at the undergraduate level, all the Oregon students that are qualified. And by not designating a particular amount for targeted enrollment, and by this budget note, which higher ed has looked at and agrees to, this would make clear the legislative intention that with this additional funding that you are providing them, that there will not be enrollment caps and that the undergraduate, the qualified students would be able to come, with the exceptions for the programs, that specific programs may not necessarily need to accept everyone that's qualified.
Madam Chair.
Senator
Wilson. Steve, would this budget note allow an institution to go to the e-board like OSU and I think it was OIT did for unexpected enrollment increases?
This would, no, this would not allow them to do that this by any means.
Representative.
And what is the price tag for that? No. No? What would be the estimated price tag?
Well, there. The price tag of serving all students is a function of the level of per-student funding that the Oregon University system wishes to provide. When we look at all those tables and the cell values, it's a function of what level those cell values are being set to. The state board, in its existing authority, has the authority to change those cell values to reflect the amount of funding that is available. In one sense, there is no cost of this, because this, what this will do require is the state board to, you know, presumably lower some of those cell values so that there would be enough incentive to serve more students so that there wouldn't be enrollment caps. In another sense, this would have impacts of distributing the funds to the various institutions in a different manner than we've seen in the materials we've had so far that shows, you know, PSU getting X percent and what have you. We can't actually generate a new table like that because we don't have, the State Board hasn't decided how to meet the requirements of this budget note. But I think we can talk in some generalities of how institutions might be affected. I know the Vice Chancellor had been looking at that.
Madam Chairman.
Are you finished?
I am.
Sorry, but back to the budget note again. I don't understand why all otherwise is in there. Shouldn't it read, the approved budget shall finance all academically qualified resident undergrad? What's otherwise mean in there?
Well, it may not be adding anything to that. There wasn't any particular intention. I think it may just be bad writing on my part, so we can pick that word out. I don't think it was
well done. Yeah, thank you.
So my understanding is that the committee is striking the word otherwise in from the budget note. Should I continue with the next item?
Any other questions on the budget note?
Okay. Our next recommendation is that you reduce general funds to the agency by $500,000 for expected administrative efficiency savings. As you know, the committee has been looking at all agency budgets to see where there may be administrative savings. You've heard numbers of 4% of state support. This is nowhere near that amount, but it is an amount that the system has identified as savings they believe they can realize from expected administrative efficiency savings. So we recommend that reduction. We recommend in number 5 a further reduction of $800,000 in the funding that's in this budget for inflation on services and supply costs. All state agencies get an inflation component. For higher ed, the amount that's in this budget is a little over $2.3 million in general fund. And we're recommending that because of general general fund revenue restraints, we recommend that you reduce that inflation allowance by $800,000. So the system would basically have an additional $1,600,000 less to meet its expected inflation cost.
So what percentage does that translate to?
That would be approximately okay, I'm sorry, I did this wrong. That would be approximately 1.5% inflation cost increases funded during the course of the
financial. So that's not 1.5 a year. That's about 7.75% per year.
Mm-hmm.
Did your investigation show that they were underspending their services and supplies budget during this present biennium?
No, I did not note that. I'm not saying that they're not saying that. I'm just saying I did not investigate that particular one.
Did they agree with this reduction?
It was one of the proposals that they suggested when we asked to look at the 4% cuts. It was one of their earliest proposals to meet those.
And essentially because they are an independent body and you give them a whole budget, they have the flexibility to move other funds into services and supplies they have, for instance, if they have unfilled positions, then they can use that slack to cover this.
Yes, and they also have significant other funds in the form of tuitions and fees that they can also use those monies to help increase services.
So the fact that we are, it's just that we are not giving an increase in this amount just on this line item. We're not prohibiting them from spending more money on services because we just got to squeeze it out someplace else. Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Representative Edwards?
I'm trying to figure out what this means. Because of general fund revenue, what are we talking about there?
Representative, what we are talking about is a charge from the Ways and Means co-chairs to look seriously at cuts that can be made in the base budgets of agencies in order to meet funding needs within this biennium. In general, agencies have been asked to look at 4% cuts in their, or to respond to how they would implement 4% cuts in their state support. For the Department of Higher Education, that 4% target would be about $27 million. So as you can see, these reductions that we're looking at here, numbers 4 and 5, which are essentially the efficiency cuts, are nowhere near that amount. But we do believe that these are cuts that higher ed can and should absorb.
As all of us did our collective thinking on this, did we factor in the fact that probably what's going to happen with the salary modifications for this biennium is that they're underfunded in the governor's budget and also in the Senate president's budget, as I understand it, and that there will be considerable costs that the agencies will have to pick up, and this being a big one, will have to pick up a lot of underfunding, and that will affect its abilities to do a lot of these things. And that's already happened last biennium, so they're still reeling from that. And I know in the institution I know probably the most about, supplies were really cut back dramatically to do some of those things. And so I just wondered if that was factored in. Did anybody think about that?
Bill, Ms. Angel, would you want to come up and address the question?
for the record, my name is Bill Anslow. I'm with the Chancellor's Office. Madam Chair, Senator Tro, yes, we did think about that. We felt that the trade-off was losing positions versus trying to trim back in terms of supplies and expense. And we offered, as required, to come through a 4% cut. This would be the first action we would take rather than losing positions in the university. But your observation is correct in that there will be, depending on how much of the salary package is funded in another part of the state government budget, there will be increased pressure as the salaries are settled that will have to come out of whatever funds are available. So that would put additional pressure on. It will depend on how those settlements are made. We don't know that yet. But for instance, a 2+2, if it were to occur in a July and July, and the PED cost would probably put about $20 to $22 million of pressure on the total budget. If it was a January, it would be on the order of $11 million. So that gives you some sense of the additional pressures when salaries are made in order to fund within whatever total this is. Obviously, once decided, whatever monies were available, we would have to fund the program within those available funds as we have in the past.
Does the new budget model allow you the flexibility you had with the old to call for institutions to absorb these costs?
Yes, sir. It would require, if there was a settlement, we would be required to use it within the revenues that were available, and the institutions would have to do that.
Would the institutions suffer equally, or would there be disproportionate suffering?
The way that we generally allocate, there is proportional suffering, if that would be the correct phrase. Although we have tried, in the case of the institutions that are very close on the margin, we have tried to provide. And the board has looked at what we call funding floors or transition funding that would not, when a salary increase goes forward, would not precipitate a significant downward spiral loss of program. So we're trying to calibrate that, and we've committed to do that.
It seems like the new model is it spreads the money resource around among the institutions. Some fare better than others in terms of the money.
In terms of moving to the model, and therefore we have tried to provide through the mechanism of a targeted transition fund and the targeted floor to prevent campuses from slipping below that floor.
And this is considered as you take on this additional cost that's probably coming down.
We have tried to factor some of that in, yes.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Recommendation number 6 requires a little more explanation. The governor's budget includes roll-up costs related to compensation changes for the classified employees. This is a repeat of a request that was presented to the legislature 2 years ago in which the legislature denied funding for. What this, we are again recommending that you deny funding this time as well. To explain what this item is, this item refers to a situation that occurred after the legislature passed Senate Bill 271, the Higher Ed Efficiency Act, in 1995. You did get a report on that during the public hearings on this budget. This bill granted, which is also referred to as the Higher Ed Efficiency Act, granted OUS exemptions from several areas of state oversight, including in the area of personnel and labor relations, which is to say that this bill gave higher ed the authority to negotiate its labor contracts on its own instead of negotiating them with DAS through the state. What higher ed did was they did approve a contract that added an additional step to the compensation plans for their classified employees, these steps being the increases that are generally received when with satisfactory work, at, you know, periods of time each year. they did this under their new authority, and they financed this with the savings, the administrative savings that Senate Bill 271 allows for higher ed. They did, though, in 97, and again now, are asking that part of the cost, these additional costs, be shifted onto the general fund so that the general fund would bear the same proportion of these compensation costs as is generally the case throughout the system. So they wouldn't be all funded from the self-funding of the institution. But the legislature last time rejected this under the argument that the purpose of Senate Bill 271 and the reason why they approved that was with the understanding that this would let higher ed operate more efficiently and at a lower cost, and not that higher ed would use its authorities that it's been granted to impose additional costs on the general fund. So we are again recommending that funding for this be denied, and that this would not lower the compensation rates. It would just require higher ed to continue to finance these out of its other resources, as it has been doing now since these compensation changes were put in place, I think, in 1996 or so.
And just to clarify this, we are, if we approve the funding model, we are allocating money for instruction and at these different levels for different kinds of programs. The classified staff are part of that effort. And so we're really asking institutions to move their money around and pay the people that they need to pay to get this instruction delivered. And the classified staff is part of that. So nothing we're doing, we are giving them more money, we're just not giving them more money for this specific item.
That's correct.
And it's their responsibility to fit in the raises and the increases. We are not precluding them from giving raises to these people, isn't that right?
That is correct. They retain their authorities under Senate.
And so they should compensate these people fairly for whatever responsibility they're giving them, throw them out the window if they're not the right people to do the job or whatever. But it's their responsibility to manage their workforce.
That's correct. Okay.
Thank you.
Steve, where does this $2.5 million show up in the leadership budget? You say it's in the governor's budget here.
I believe that the budget that the co-chairs have been looking at did not include this funding.
Did not.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Continue.
We're now up to, I see the numbering is wrong here. I'm sorry. We've got another recommendation, 5. It's on page 3. It's labeled 5, but it's performance funding.
5A.
There's been a little bit of discussion, not a whole lot, I don't think, but there's of an element in the new budget model for performance funding. What performance funding, the way that this element works is that higher ed would award the campuses that achieve certain performance targets with additional funds as an incentive for the campuses to improve and to meet the targets that have been set for them. The governor's budget includes $1,730,000 for 2 years of performance awards. It turns out, though, that only 1 year of awards will be awarded this biennium. And there's 2 years of funding in there. So the first recommendation of LFO is to take out the $1 million that is designated for the second year of the award, but which will not be awarded until the next biennium. So we recommend first taking out $1 million. Now the first year award is $730,000. The total is to grow, but the first year actually will be awarded this biennium. But we are recommending that rather than just appropriating these funds to the agency at this time, that you instead appropriate the $730,000 of funding for the first year of the performance funding to the emergency board in the form of a special appropriation and require that OUS come back and report to the emergency board on these performance awards report on how the campuses are meeting their targets under the new budget model, and decide how much funds to provide, because the idea is if a campus doesn't meet its performance award, the money doesn't go to a different campus, it's not spent. So all of this money may not be required if some of the campuses don't meet their performance targets. And we recommend for that purpose and for the purpose of having the agency accountable to how the institutions are responding under the new model, that you allocate these funds to the emergency board.
Any questions?
Just to understand the numbers, you're saying the governor has $1.7 million roughly for this. Your recommendation is taking out the million,
right?
So you're down to $730,000, of which we would appropriate for this next biennium, and then they would come back to e-board and suggest what it really should cost for that second year, the million, or in the future.
No, I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. They would come back and see how much of the $730,000 that they need.
Councillor Cox.
With your permission, Madam Chair, for the record, Joe Cox with the University System, I'd like to ask your consideration. I agree with what, and we worked with Steve to do this, because our first awards will not occur until June or July of next year. But I would ask your consideration in changing the language in the last sentence, because this says that the full 730 will be awarded only if all successfully meet their target. We need to reward those who do. And I think it would be really unfortunate to not reward them, because the point of this new model is to say those who move this forward, those who achieve, will be rewarded. So I would ask your consideration.
Take all out. And awarded two institutions.
Representative.
Yes, Mr. Cox, are you satisfied with taking the million out?
Well, I think in the interest of consistency and honesty, Mr. Edwards, I think I have to be. As we talked this through with Steve earlier this week, we all came to the conclusion that since we will not make the first awards until the end of the first year, the end of the first performance cycle, the second awards will not occur until the next biennium. So I think this is a reasonable thing to do, and Steve has said that he will consider that in the next biennial development, because that would slide forward. So I think this is a reasonable action.
Thank you.
And so what we need to do is we need to reword that last sentence so it doesn't, I understand what Steve said, the full $730,000 will be awarded only if all institutions fully meet their targets, but I think we need to reword it so that it would, so that whatever amount is allocated would reflect the awards to institutions who do successfully meet their targets. That's what the intention is, I think.
Just a question, Carol. Would they spend the whole $730,000 on the remaining institutions if all of them don't?
No.
They're going to spend a portion.
It sounds as though that would be their desire to. I was incorrect in what I thought their desire was. It sounds as if only one institution achieves its target, they would give the full $730,000 to that one.
I don't think
that's what they meant. That would have to be a case-to-case circumstance. Believe me, these are entrepreneurial institutions. We won't have a situation where only one or two, I don't think. That's something we'd have to consider, the board would have to consider at that time. The problem in awarding it all to one is that should there be dramatic improvement somewhere else, if it later you would have spent your funds. But I think it's conceivable, I suppose.
I'm sure.
I can't imagine the likelihood that only one will be targeted. They're motivated to move this.
One could say quickly, money from the $730,000 will be awarded if institutions successfully meet their targets. It allows discretion.
Are you comfortable with that change?
I think it begs me the question of how that gets distributed. I mean, the first one out of the chute that said, I mean, I don't even know how you're going to measure how you're going to get this anyway, but.
Madam Chair, Representative Edwards, what the board has done is set nine performance indicators, as we talked with you about earlier in the week, against those four overall targets of quality, cost effectiveness, access, et cetera, and employability. We've worked with each institution to set targets specifically relevant to them and their mission. So the targets at Portland State that receive emphasis are different than they are at Western Oregon or perhaps at Southern. The board has met one-on-one with the presidents, working through their goals for the institution and their personal goals. And those goals have been challenged and refined, and I think what we have are that they'll stretch to get there. But the board will have to make judgments at its renewal session next July, a year from July, after the performance of the first year has been reviewed, and I think the board will sit with the dollars available, look at the achievements, and have to make case-to-case judgments of where institutions were able to move. But they will be case-to-case and not across the board. And they will all relate to the same 9 indicators, but different goals.
A comment on that. I believe in providing carrots. I mean, I think that's a good concept. I guess I'm not, it's obviously subject to the board's approval. I guess I'm concerned about that subjectivity in the sense of, I mean, I know you just started these targets quite frankly, so, and I think trying to put an incentive is a good idea. I guess I'm still concerned about how, let's say all of them make the grade or make gains against these targets. Does that therefore mean all the institutions would take equally get some amount? I mean, I guess I'm trying to figure out how you distribute that, or at the end of the day, say 4, and then you split up 4.
Well, I wish Mr. Imerson were still here. The board has not gone so far as to develop an actual allocation process. If they had, I would share that with you. Having worked with them for 5 years, my inclination is to believe that they will assess the situation, look at the resources available, ask us to make recommendations. And some of those might have some differentials attached to them. Some of the goals may have been more ambitious than others, and that probably has to be taken into account, but I don't think they would just across the board divide it. They don't tend to work that way.
Just one last observation. I mean, this isn't very much money anyway.
No.
Anything, so I'm not sure.
Beginning.
Well, not of it anyway, but I guess this is sort of a trust me type of recommendation here.
Well, I would be happy to, as we did with Senate Bill 919 and 271, I would be happy to come to the interim legislature, an appropriate committee, with a report as to how we had distributed the funds. I'm pleased to do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I understand it, you're going to have to come back before the emergency board anyway.
For release of the funds.
For release of the funds, and at that time you can come back and bring proposal that you're looking on.
Representative Winters is way ahead of me. We will have to come back, so it will require us to put on the table the distribution for your review.
And thank you, Madam Chair. I also wanted to mention that, of course, a special purpose appropriation specifies that there's money for a purpose, but the emergency board doesn't rubber stamp these requests, and if the emergency board finds that their proposed distribution is not reasonable, they do not have to fund it, or they can change the funding.
Yeah, so therefore, if for whatever reason in our wisdom in the e-board were to see that we believe, you present your case that there's who we're going to reward, and let's say it's not all of them, but then you say why you didn't reward those that did not, we could obviously override that and say no, everybody should get a slice.
I would suggest to the emergency committee too that the symbolism of this is probably far greater than the money.
Exactly.
Representative Bassin?
Thank you, Chairman. Chancellor Cox, your point is well taken. I think all the great interest that we have here in the $730,000 is very interesting. And this is a great amount of response. But back to that last sentence of that first paragraph, number 5, referencing Senator Cho's comment, the original was the full $730,000 will be awarded only if all institutions meet. Well, we've changed that, does that mean if 4 institutions meet, then the $730,000 will be divided among them in some formula developed by the state board?
I probably am ahead of my headlights in speaking for the board, which hasn't considered this, but knowing how they tend to work, I think they will consider them on a case-to-case basis. They may not award all the funds.
That was kind of the bottom line I was getting.
I've seen them do that. Okay.
Madam Chair,
the symbolism is important, and in the scheme of things, this is not a lot of money. And I would much rather this committee give the e-board and give the institution some kind of clear parameters so that we don't have it too fuzzy, because a chair isn't effective if it turns out to be a rash. And so I would really recommend that we do indicate that they should come back with, you know, some parameters about how they're going to distribute this, but that our intent is to give them the full $730,000 to divide among the institutions that do, in fact, meet performance standards. And I would see that as being more effective in terms of having a carrot for them to hand out, rather than saying, well, gee, if one doesn't do it, we're only going to do $687,000, and if two don't get it, we're going to do a smaller amount. That would seem to be clearer for the board, because if we're too tentative in saying we might not give you this money, or it's not really extended with a fair amount of goodwill, then I think it loses its effectiveness. So I agree with taking the first million out. I agree with the fact that it is symbolic, but I also think we want it to be effective in saying we are interested in their performance standards, and we want to give the board the capacity to reward them if, in fact, they need it. So that would be my desire, is that we do, in fact, that our actions indicate that the full $730,000 is to be held in the emergency board and is to be released when the board comes back with their recommendations and an adequate responsible distribution.
That's consistent with the e-board process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any objections? Okay, we need
language to fix this. Okay. We'll look at the budget and see if we can run it fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Go
on to the next one.
Number seven. We recommend that the amount in the governor's budget be reduced by $1,050,000 for the following reasons. Unfortunately, there is a funding gap in the governor's budget for completing the partially completed library at Western Oregon University. The legislature last time approved starting the construction of the new library at Western Oregon University to be funded over a two-biennium period, and indicated how much they expected the library to cost and how much money the governor should put in the budget for the continuation of this project. Unfortunately, cost estimates for this project have increased and are now $2.1 million higher than expected. And the governor did not include any funding to meet the additional costs. LFO believes that these are costs which do need to be met, so that you don't have a building there without a roof on it or a half-constructed building. And we need to find the money. So we recommend that you transfer half of this amount of the funding gap, that is to say $1,050,000 of general fund, to the capital construction budget. You can't actually technically do that in this bill because that's in another bill, but we will report to the capital construction subcommittee that this was your intent in removing this money. Then that money would be available in capital construction to be matched by Article 11G bonds of an equal amount, and the library can be completed.
Okay, so just a question to staff, and so this is not an action. It's part of this bill. This would be a recommendation to the construction committee.
This action will reduce the funding and make $1,050,000. It'll take the money out of the operating budget. So the money will then be available to the capital. It's just the process is just a little, it involves two subcommittees.
Okay, well, help me out with this. If we approve a budget of $100 million, that means we only have $99 million left.
Thanks. Any other questions? Continue.
Okay, number eight. Number 8 is the second to last recommendation, and it's that the subcommittee increase the general fund support for implementation of the new budget model beyond the level that the governor is funding in his budget proposal. The amount of the increase, from given all the changes that you've adopted so far, would be a recommendation that you increase or provide an additional $20,410,000 of general fund to be used to allow the higher ed to implement its new budget model and to promote quality, accessibility, and accountability in higher education that this model is designed to develop. We believe that the model at the governor's level of funding is very minimal in enabling higher ed to implement the outcomes that they would hope to provide under the new model, and that these additional funds will help higher ed to implement this new model and to ensure its success. The amount is, $20,410,000. I mean, why that number? Well, there are a number of reasons behind this number, and this is an amount, first of all, that is within the amount that the co-chairs of Ways and Means feel can be accommodated. Of course, the co-chairs always have to be concerned that their overall budget requests that come to them do not exceed what's able to be funded, but this is an amount that they would allow to proceed out of the subcommittee. It is, in terms of looking at it in comparison to numbers that you've seen already, the question is, well, what is this really doing? Let me explain a couple ways of what this number amount really amounts to. The first way I'd like to explain it, if I could, is to go back to the spreadsheet here, where it says page 3 of 16. When you look at page 3 of 16, you see at the top there, legislative fiscal office recommendations. These are the recommended changes from the governor's budget. They're all on this one page here. If you look at the total line there in that first box, you'll see that after we add in this $20,410,000, that the total funding for higher ed for these programs is an additional $13,800,000 above the governor's proposal. To put another way, you've heard the numbers of $75 million for the governor's proposal or $73. It's a little confusing because of the way that the current service level is being counted for. This funding recommendation would provide $87.6 million above the current service level. So it is above what the governor is proposing. The numbers that you've been hearing is labeled the Senate budget proposal, which the Senate president released back in the fall, included $100 million. This number is less than that for a number of reasons. Some of the reasons are the efficiency reductions that you've taken, the decision regarding classified salaries, taking out the $1 million that aren't going to be used for performance funding, taking out the money to complete the library. But other reductions from the full amount relate to the fact that the amount, the $100 million funded certain programs funded $2 million for the extension service and the other OSU statewide. We're recommending that that come out of this budget because that would be considered in House Bill 5057. It also included about $4.89 million in funding for high-tech enhancements in high-tech engineering. And we're recommending that that not be funded here in this budget because, as you see, there will be another bill to look at that situation, sort of like a Senate Bill 504 from last session to look at that issue. So some of the money is, reductions are taken for efficiency purposes. Other funds are withheld for consideration later in other parts of the budget. This particular bill, if you adopted these LFO recommendations, would supply $87.6 million above CSO.
Any questions?
Steve just said, what you touched on. Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm leaning forward.
All right, thank you. Steve, I wanted to talk to you about the library completion funds, the transfer out of the $1,050,000. Could you explain for us about how that is, through the bonding process, parlayed into the 2.1 and where the debt service for that will come from?
The Oregon Constitution contains a provision called, which is in Article 11 G of the Oregon Constitution. What Article 11G does is it allows the state to issue bonds to finance the construction of educational facilities such as a library by higher ed or by community colleges. There are limitations, though, constitutionally. The state must match each dollar of bonding with general funds. So if you have a $50 million, well, that's a big building. If you have a $20 million building, you can't bond the whole thing. You have to use $10 million. You have to put in $10 million of general funds along with $10 million of bonds. What this recommendation would allow is it would allow the state to use it would make available $1,050,000 of general funds that would then be available to be matched by an equal amount of bonds. Once the bonds are issued, the debt service on those bonds is paid by the general fund and is funded in the higher ed budget. We haven't talked about debt service here, but there is debt service funding in the higher ed budget in the governor's recommendation.
Thank you.
Representative Edwards. You made a statement. We heard some testimony from the Oregon Metals Initiative and that group. You're saying that's coming through in a separate bill?
No. My understanding is that what's coming through in a separate bill is not all of the TriTech education funding, but enhancements over the base budget for high-tech engineering.
Which will show up in which budget?
It's a bill that has not yet been assigned, but we are expecting that bill to come to the subcommittee later in the session.
Representative, if I may, in the CSL, there is the continuing $1 million support, the OMI Metals Initiative. It is the model that we're trying to replicate in other industries. The 4.89 that Steve refers to will be administered in a sense of advising us on how to invest by the Engineering Technology Council, the group that you heard from last week. We will follow the principles of 504, where not a cent was invested until the Engineering Council had signed off on our recommendations. There is the possibility that in the 4.89 that there could be the assignment by ETEC Engineering Council of additional funds to support the Metals Initiative. That's a council recommendation that we're meeting on Monday for the next first. I actually probably won't even consider awards at that point. So we'll use the process that 504 created. It worked quite well. It's competitive. And the OMI is represented on that council, if that helps.
More important. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We had a sheet here that talked about the Engineering Technology Industry Council recommended investments for the next biennium. They have an investment summary, which is mm-hmm. State funds of $24.3 million. And then if you go down to research goals, they're talking about the Oregon Metals Initiative, $1 million, which you spoke to, and then the Oregon Technology Initiative. Is that also included? Which is $3 million.
Well, the council, Representative Edwards, the council will now need to take the new numbers because it's 24 is not available. The council will need to take the new numbers and apply their original priorities to that, which is what they did last time. You'll recall in the first round of 504, the entire $5 million was invested at the graduate and research level. The emphasis this time by the council has been assigned significantly to expanding the undergraduate output of engineers and computer scientists. Does that help?
Senator
Trope? Just a question to Joe while he's here. Is the funding for the WOU library putting in capital construction budget and transferring $1 million to be matched with bond monies? Is that okay?
Mr. Angelo, we're comfortable with that.
Okay. Is WOU comfortable with that?
Yes, sir. It is capital construction, and that's an appropriate place to.
Any other questions?
I just wanted to follow on Senator Trojan to make sure that is adequate amount for completion of the library project this first
night. I put the screws to our staff the other night and said, I want you to look me in the eye and tell me that it's finished with this. And without blinking, they said it is.
Okay.
So I'm saying to you, Representative Winters, that I'm assured that it finishes it.
Representative Browning.
Okay. So, Steve, as I'm adding this up here, what we've got then, if we add the things that are transferred out or in other bills, we have 95.4 million actually for higher ed that is being talked about here, that may have adjustments in other settings, but 87.6 million that we're approving here, 1 million for the library, 2 million for statewide services that may in fact get enhanced in some other committee,
mm-hmm.
but that's the two that we're moving.
Mm-hmm.
4.8 for engineering, and that totals 95.4 million of funded here and things that are moved out.
That's correct. That would be those that are funded and those.
And then we have actual cuts of five administrative efficiencies, 0.8 in salaries, 2.5 in roll-up denial, and 1 million in awards, and those are the actual cuts that we have, and I have that adding up to 4.8. I think I've left something out. The holdback for the awards, the 750, which would be 0.75 in this arrangement, that would actually be held back. And so am I correct on the...
Excellent.
Okay. I'm just trying to straighten out the cuts and the transfers
yes.
so that we can... So essentially, we are leaving the... Will the engineering budget be considered in this committee or will it be in some other committee?
We are expecting it in this committee.
Okay, so the 4.8 for engineering will be something that we will consider later. That's our choice about that. And then the statewide, which is extension, forestry, and ag, is $2 million. But I know there's major push to expand that. And if the co-chair has any thoughts on that.
What's the engineering budget in this?
Anyway, so that's where we are, as far as I can tell.
The current service level.
The current service level is.
And the
additional
enhancement.
In this budget,
yep.
It's not going to be in the
right. 87 plus.
Okay, any other questions? Representative Edwards?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will make a motion, and I guess I should thank Senator Gordon for allowing us to walk through that because I think my motion will change slightly.
Okay. We do have a couple more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On the back.
People gave me the eye like I was ready to go. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
You're too sensitive, right?
That's what I thought you wanted to ask about.
Too much coffee this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our final recommendation is for the committee to specify its assumptions concerning the roll-up costs for implementing this new model. You heard that the governor's proposal was, or the governor's intention was to fund the model over a multi-biennium period. That is to say, to fund part of it now and to fund part of it next biennium. And indeed, Mr. Carboni gave you some information as to what they would consider to be the additional cost next biennium, just as fully phasing this model in. LFO, though, believes that at the funding level that you would consider or approve if you approved our other recommendations that we've talked about so far would be sufficient to allow higher ed to operate this budget model and recommends that you, make this assumption clear that you're not funding a two biennium phase-in, but that you are funding the model at this time. Because of that, or related to that is the fact that there should not be next biennium a budget proposal before the next legislature that shows an additional $16 million or $30 million or whatever as cost to fully phase in the model. So we would recommend that you adopt the budget note, which is on page 4. Now, do you want me to read it or just?
You got to read it.
Okay. The Department of Higher Education shall fully implement its new budget model within the funding provided in this bill and with other appropriations that may be made to the department in other bills this legislative session. That, of course, refers to the fact that we've got more than one bill out there. It is the legislature's intent that this funding not be considered part of a multi-biennium phase-in of funding for the new budget model. As such, the agency shall not request, and the governor shall not include in the agency's 2001-03 biennium current service level any amount that includes phase-in costs or roll-ups designed to complete the implementation of the new model. This does not preclude the inclusion of the current service in the current service level of cost changes as allowed generally for other state agencies. So, you know, to the extent that we allow other agencies to look at certain cost changes in creating their current service level, you should allow higher ed to use those same rules, and does not preclude the recommendation of new policy option packages or of adjustments to the budget model if requested in the form of policy changes.
No, sure.
Okay.
I object a little bit to imperious budget notes. I think we have the ability to instruct agencies, to tell them what we would like them to do. I don't think we have the ability to tell the governor what he can do in his budget particularly. And I don't think we ought to be doing that. A budget note does not have the standing of the law. It's only advice from a legislative committee. And it gets in a budget report and it goes through the process of being approved as part of a budget report, but it's not part of the bill.
Right.
And so and I think, you know, the courts have sort of looked at budget notes in terms of what standing they have. And so I would just suggest that, as I've read other budget notes around here, that we're beginning to think that somehow or other we have more power maybe than we really have, and we ought to be careful in what we express.
Senator, I think the purpose of this budget note was to kind of leave a trail for future legislators.
And I don't mind doing that.
So they have an understanding of what we were thinking at the time, so we don't find ourselves in an OHSU situation.
I don't mind that. The thing I do mind, though, is to say that the governor's budget may not include something. That's not for us to tell the governor what the governor can do in his budget, is it?
Sure. Yeah. Senator
Miller?
I'm sure I concur with Senator Trow, at least with respect to instructing the governor what he may or may not do. I don't have any problem trying to shape the agencies up, however.
Madam Chair, would agree. The governor's job is to propose, and our job is to dispose. And that's the separation of the team. So. And I don't have any problem in leaving some information, but I do not think it's appropriate for us to tell the governor that he can't.
Well, we can strike that if that's the first committee. Strike some language regarding the governor. Senator Berger.
Madam Chair, the objection that I have, an additional objection I have to the budget zone is, frankly, on the first line, that the Department of Higher Ed shall fully implement its new budget model within the funding provided in this bill and with other appropriations, et cetera. I guess I'll put it this way. I hope that they're able to fully implement, but I question whether that is realistic with the dollars that are going to be provided. This is an evolution. This will be an evolving process. And so to state the note in these terms, shall fully implement within the funding provided and other appropriations, I think is not, it's not realistic.
I agree with excluding the governor from the note, but I do think that it's important that we take higher ed and the Board of Higher Ed and the system as a whole at its word we have an agreement that they're going to fund their model. I do not want them to come back and say, well, the board got this money and we decided that we were going to fund engineering at $23 million and extension at $17 million and the metals initiative, because that just seems so nice to us. And we didn't fund all of the model, and we want you to fund the other half. This is just like the library. They said they could do it. They didn't do it. They came back and said, would you like to give us another couple of million to do it? And so I don't have any objection to saying it is our expectation that you will take this money and do what you said you were going to do with it. And the Board of Higher Ed is very independent from us, and so I support saying that this is what we're allocating the money for.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would like to second what the representative from Corvallis says, and that is that it has been my impression that the purpose of this budget note is to indeed say that this model is fully funded from our standpoint, and at this point we're, I can give an analogy, like throwing the ropes off of the dock and saying, God be with you and God speed.
Okay.
Madam Chair, committee members, for the record, I'm Leslie Lewis, State Representative, District 29. Concerning the budget note, I too would like to support Representative Ross's statements that she has made. I think we do want to make a statement that you know, we believe this is fully funding this model, and I believe we need to make that statement. I am very concerned, as I think all of us should be, and in our introductions at the beginning of our Ways and Means process, we talked a lot about the roll-up costs we need to the next legislative session, and that they come in and these current service level budgets look so much larger than they were because we have less roll-up costs for them. I understand that the concerns that are being expressed about telling the governor what he can and cannot include, and if you need to take that out, if that's the will of the committee, I understand that may happen. However, I would like to argue for it to stay in. And the reason why I argue for that is you will notice that it only refers to the current service level, to what the governor brings us as far as current service level. And the note clearly states that if he wants to bring us more to do with funding the model in a policy option package, then that is perfectly appropriate for the governor to do. And if you will notice, that is in fact what the governor did this session. The model, of course, does not appear in the current service level. The model is in a program option package. So I really strongly would encourage you. I understand the concern about the separation of powers, but I believe we should keep roll-up costs like that we are making a statement as this legislative body that we believe we are funding the model adequately, and if there are going to be future costs due to the model, those should appear as policy option package and not be in current service level, either in the agency's budget or in the governor's budget. The governor, as you well know, his recommended budget is not just current service level, it includes a lot of program enhancements. And we are not prohibiting the governor from doing that. So I would argue that language is still appropriate.
Any comments? Did I take a motion? Yes. On this budget note? On the budget note?
Madam Chair, I really think that we ought to exclude telling the governor what to do. Other than that, I think the budget note is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like it toned down a little bit, but other than that.
Did you want to make a motion?
I move that we exclude the statement that we would not request. Let's see. The agency shall not request that the governor shall not include in the agency to have the current service level. I move that we strike that from the resolution and rework the resolution without that.
Madam Chair, just clarification. I
think that we could make that sentence just if we just delete and the governor up to any amount. We can still say as such agency shall not request.
Yeah, yeah, that's
okay. LFO recommends to strike the governor shall not include. Just to strike that line. Mm-hmm.
I think
what's LFO's recommendation? How to clarify the language?
To if the committee desires to remove any direction to the governor, we would recommend that you strike the words "and the governor shall not include" in that sentence. The remaining language would read, "As such, the agency shall not request in the agency's 2001-2003 biennium current service level." We still think that we need to direct how the agency puts together its current service level.
Mm-hmm. But if they don't call it phase in, they can request anything they want to.
That's right.
Okay, the motion is that we strike the language in the budget note, "and the governor shall not include." And do I call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Linton?
Aye.
Senator
Crowe?
Aye. Senator
Borsley? No. Senator Nelson? No. 9 ayes and Representative Minnis?
No.
8 ayes, 0. Motion carries. Madam Chair, I think we need a motion to support the budget note as needed. So that we have it clear on the record that we are supporting it. Okay, well, Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the budget note as modified by the previous motion. I just appreciate this, and I think the clarity is helpful, and that we get our agreement with the Board of Higher Ed on the record about our expectations here.
Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Block?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Jackson?
Aye.
Representative Winter?
Aye.
Senator Crowe?
Aye.
Senator Harkin?
Aye.
Senator Miller?
Aye.
Senator Bordley?
No.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Representative Ginnis?
No. Motion carries.
Any other? That completes the discussion of LFO's recommendations. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to have gone through that. That actually helped me a little better craft what I'm going to offer as a motion here. And I apologize that I am going to cherry pick a few of these recommendations because I do think there are some things that are worthwhile to put in. And I think the fundamental principle of why I'm offering this motion at this time again is the fact that the level of funding that I believe would recommend in my motion, again, was outlined by staff as nearly a 19% increase. I believe that's totally adequate at this point in time in the budget process. I remain very concerned about the level of K-12 funding. That's an enormous part of the budget. This is a substantial growth in this budget. I am hopeful that we as this committee, as we've at least publicly made ourselves aware, a number of us, that we want to see an adequate K-12 budget. And I'm concerned that if we go above this level, then we may be jeopardizing
the ability to go to a level I believe is adequate for K-12 funded. And my motion, therefore, is I would. I'm sorry if I kind of butcher this because I'm not quite sure. I would again recommend the governor's budget as outlined in. This one would go down to the what was 0.1, again removing the 50.2 change, which household 50.22. Again, 0.2 is outlined in by LO, that the governor's recommended budget with technical revisions. And then, I would request that we adopt number three, and I'm just going to go list through how we adopted this. And I'll just give a brief comment on each, that the base budget and the target enrollment, that seems to me like a reasonable way to budget in the future for OSU. I also agree with the efficiencies in budget in point four, which does reduce $500,000, which is not a lot of money, but I believe that's a good signal. I don't agree with point five, so therefore that would be out, which is the taking out of another $800,000. The roll-up cost should remain in, again, as was described in the governor's budget. 5A, as I described it, performance funding. I agree, and I think that's a very good beginning point. The money isn't a lot, but I do think this is set the policy and the course for the institutions to follow. That will be $1 million less, as I read this in the governor's proposed budget. I also see that I believe we do need to fund the library at Western Oregon State University. That would be, again, in my motion, would include that point. And I would hope that the $1 million that would be saved in the taking out of the governor's budget or the performance funding would then be transferred or utilized in point seven rather than taking out of the budget. So you're almost at a wash there.
So do you want point seven?
I do. Okay. I do.
All right.
Point eight, at this point, as I described earlier, I don't believe we have the money to put in $20 million at this point in time in the budget without knowing what our resources are going to be, particularly in light of the May revenue forecast. We don't know what we have. And the committee seems to have adopted point nine. I think I can't put that included in my recommendation here because I don't believe, I, as was described, this level of funding does not fully fund the model, so therefore I'm not going to offer any language that would accommodate that. I believe that the note is appropriate, but since I didn't really have the benefit of work that in advance, I would suggest that be taken out for now. My motion is complicated. I apologize for that, but I think the bottom line, if I did the math, was just taking out, in essence, $500,000 from the governor's recommended budget in net with that motion. And that comes largely from point four, which is the efficiency. If I've done my math right, that's what I think it should add up to be.
Okay. For clarification, you want this to adopt point one, point two, mm-hmm. point three, mm-hmm. point four, point 5A, and point seven.
Yeah. Correct. And my colleague's 5A is 5 repeated on page 3, which is the performance from there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative.
I appreciate the work that Representative Edwards has done. I think there is a rational argument that 19% increase in any agency open But I do respectfully differ from him in that higher ed has been a section of our government that we have systematically reduced over the last 10 years. I've been very impressed with the testimony and with individual discussions I've had with representatives of higher ed that this is an investment that we need to make in our state, in our economy, and supporting our industry. And also, I am satisfied that full funding of this model will help our rural institutions as well, and that by doing this full funding, we make available access to higher ed for segments of our population for whom this is difficult. And that it does make possible the cooperation with K through 12 with our community colleges that a lower level of funding would not make. And so I will vote against this motion, and then I have some other discussion when we get to the main motion.
All right. Any other discussion on the motion? Senator Tro.
I'm sorry. I agree with much of what Representative Ross said. I also agree, I think, with the spirit behind the motion, but I'm going to oppose the motion. And it seems to me that what Representative Edwards is concerned about is knowing the totality of the funding for all of education. I'd like to see, and I think most of us here on this panel would like to see, decent budgets for each of those levels. And a number of us went on record as saying we'd like 4.95 for the public schools. We believe that's very essential, and I agree with that. But I said at the point when we had the press conference on that issue that I wanted to make sure that there were decent budgets in the rest of education. And I think higher education especially needs this money and needs this enhancement. It's implementing a new budget model. And if that's going to be successful, it ought to give each of the institutions the right kind of foundation. And I think phasing that foundation in does a lot of damage to some institutions. And so putting the money right up front when the model is effective makes a great deal of sense. And so that's why I think we ought to fund this at this level. All of education is important, and we ought not to think in terms of just one aspect of it. It's education from pre-K all the way through the doctoral institutions. And so that's why I'm encouraged with this, but I think we still have a lot to do for the public schools. And those of us who are out there visiting the public schools know they have great needs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to go on record as complimenting Representative Edwards for his support of K-12. His concerns on the higher education budget are certainly justified. I, too, am on record, as many of us here are and others in this body, of support for K-12. But I do think that this is a very important part of education, the continuum. And with all due respect to Representative Edwards' motion, I am going to vote no on this motion.
Further discussion? Clerk, would you like to call the roll?
Aye.
Domino effect.
Madam Chair, with your permission, I would change the motion to no.
I was a yes.
No.
Madam Chair, short explanation. Madam Chair, I can understand that the governor may not know well enough what the levels of funding are for these major budgets so that he may feel uncomfortable with any budget level number going out there to be approved and may veto this. And if he does, I think we all ought to rethink where we are on this issue until we know how all of this fits together. Because it's very important that it all fits together and that we do well by all segments of education. So in case the governor chooses to veto this, I just want people to know that I understand why he might do that.
Okay, do we have a motion on the
conference? I've moved to accept the amendment as proposed by Legislative Fiscal Office with the amendment to budget notes.
Discussion, Representative Burns.
thank you, and hopefully this time I can vote away and vote for
I'll tell you again.
I appreciate the work that staff has done on this, and as you are well aware, the governor has said that he would veto this budget at this level. I hope very much that we can work to avoid this. I think there is bipartisan support for higher ed in this building. This package has been well worked out. It's an important investment in Oregon's economy, its industry, our students, and our future. And so I'm hoping we can find a way to work this out. The sticking point is that we do not know where the money is going to come from. And so I think that there is a possibility that the leadership can work together to identify the other portions of the budget that can supply. Since the amount has been reduced to $87 million, that is, about $15 million over where the governor is, that's not an impossible amount. And I would hope very much that by the time this budget bill gets through both houses, that the leadership would be able to identify where that $15 or $16 million needs to come from in order that the governor would be able to sign the budget. I think it's very destructive. I respect the governor. I respect his decision. I understand and I support his saying we need money for other purposes. But I also think this is very important, and I would hope that we could work in a bipartisan way to support higher ed and to support this very important initiative for our state.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This vote today probably is the most painful vote I will make this session. I have probably on this committee, no one has benefited more than I have from public education, and specifically Portland State University. Nobody. It's given me opportunities I otherwise would not have had. And those at that university, I think, understand my level of commitment to public education in general, but specifically Portland State. So if I could, I would vote for the whole $116 million funding model. If we had the resources in front of us, I would triple them myself to vote for that. But given the financial picture as it stands now, which is at best cloudy, I don't believe that I can, in good conscience, vote for any level of funding at this point until we know what our resources are clearly, which we will not know until the May forecast. I'm also harboring some hope, and this may be hope against hope, that we will somehow convince the majority party to let loose some extra resources, specifically the kicker fund. So there are a lot of unknowns out there at this point, and for that reason, I don't want to commit to a number that's too low, and I don't want to commit to a number that may be too high, given the other trade-offs involved. So for that reason, I have to vote no.
The Senate's under call. If we can just get to the hold so we can do the vote on this. Any other discussion?
Senator Gorsuch. I appreciate the comments from the representative. I share those sentiments. But in addition to that, I personally would like to see the co-chair's budget. It's been referenced several times in this hearing and in other places, and I would like to have that information so that I can do my job, and that is give full consideration to all of the information that's being developed around the budget. So that's the request that I'm making at this time, but I will be voting no.
Other questions? Clerk, call the roll.
Aye. No.
No.
Aye.
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 Senator Miller?
Aye.
Senator Shortley?
No.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Vote explanation. I will vote yes here. I did vote yes here. I will vote yes in the full committee. May not be able to vote yes on the floor.
Senator Nelson, would you like to carry this on the Senate side? And I'll carry it the full. And on the floor.
Who is that?